Ghosts, cryptids, murder, conspiracies, beer, what, the ale.
Hello, friends.
Hello.
Welcome back to What the Ale. I'm Alana Ray.
And I'm Mama J.
And I guess before we get into it, Mama, what are you drinking today?
Today I'm just having a Modelo Negra and, you know, one of my trusted ones that I always go back to, but it's delicious.
Nice. Very nice. I'm having a Wormtown IPA. It's called Be Hoppy, which I think is so silly. But yeah. Huh?
You be hoppy.
You be hoppy. Oh my goodness. Yeah. But yeah, so that's what I'm having. Any What the Ale moments this week?
Probably because I have to go back to the Bay Area to pick up my visa for China tomorrow. And, you know, it's just a lot to, you know, you submit your things online, but then you have to go and submit them all in person, which I did last week. And then you have to come back on the day they tell you to pick it up. Mm-hmm. And I had to like reschedule a bunch of things to be able to do that tomorrow. And yeah, it's a bit of a drive and it takes a while and, you know, to wait in line and all the things. So I'm not really looking forward to picking up my China visa tomorrow, but I am very excited to go to Asia and see the Great Wall and do all the things. So I just wish it wasn't such a headache.
Yeah, that seems like very inconvenient. Like, I guess I never realized that that's what you had to do in order to get a visa to go to China. Like, that's
person. You have to fill it out online and then you have to go in person and drop off all of your documents that prove whatever you're saying. And then you have to come back to pick it up. And so I'm just like, I wish it was like a more convenient process.
Yeah, that's annoying, especially, I mean, when you go, like, when you send out for a passport, like, you send everything, but yeah. I mean, you have to send all the documents. So to me, I'm like, I don't get why you can't just send it, but okay.
I mean, the people were really nice and everything, and the wait was not that long. So, but yeah, it's just, I'm not looking forward to making that drive tomorrow and spending half of my day doing all this.
Yeah, I mean, fair and valid.
Yeah, what about you?
I know, I was trying to think of one. I think a good one is that, well, like, not a good one, but like, kind of, I don't know. I am, so my friends and I, for my impending aging day, we were planning to go see Monet Exchange, and she has rescheduled the show for January, and luckily, like, we hadn't bought tickets yet, so like, it's not really impacting our plans. Like,
where was she?
She was gonna just do a show at the Wilbur, and it looked like it was her stand-up show, so I was like really excited about it. But yeah, so because they have postponed her show, we're now trying to scramble and figure out something to do for my birthday. And then Emma, my friend, was like, oh, we could like do a party, and I'm like, I don't want a party, like, I don't want that, but like, I want to do something. So we're trying to scramble and figure that out, and like, not even in a bad way, like, I'm very excited that I have friends that are like, yeah, let's do something. So yeah, I don't know.
Well, I hope you find something good, but yeah, it'd be fun to see Monet Exchange. I've never seen her in person.
Yeah, well, and she's just so like, I love her. I think she's so like sweet and silly, and so I think it would be a fun experience, but yeah.
Well, yeah, and we'll have to figure out something to do for your birthday while you're visiting for the kids' graduation too.
I mean, honestly, are we even gonna have time? No, I'm just kidding.
I don't know, it is a crazy week, but we'll at least fit in like a trip to get some yummy dessert or something like that, or your favorite salsa.
Yeah, no, definitely we could do a meal or something. I was just being silly. It is going to be a busy trip, but yeah, it'll be good. Well, are you ready to get into it?
Yeah. So this week I decided to talk about the, you know, the mysterious Bermuda Triangle, aka Devil's Triangle. So I feel like when I was a kid, this was something that would be in movies or shows a lot. Like I remember Addams Family, we're getting, lost in the Bermuda Triangle or, different things like that. So I feel like a lot of what I knew about Bermuda Triangle was just like from shows or pop culture things or whatever. So anyways, the Bermuda Triangle is an area in the Atlantic Ocean. And the points make up a triangle, and the points are Puerto Rico, Miami, and Bermuda. Now, there are no official maps like documenting that that is the Bermuda Triangle, but that's what people think of the Bermuda Triangle as. Part of the Bahamas and Turks and Caicos are within the triangle. And the term Bermuda Triangle started being used in 1964 when author Vincent Gaddis used the term. And he had written an article about that area in Argo Sea magazine. But the US Board of Geographic Names does not recognize the Bermuda Triangle as an official name, and it does not maintain an official file on that area. And because of that, there's, like I said, no official map or no official boundaries that are drawn of that area. But, yeah. That's what people know it as.
Interesting.
Yeah. So there are, well, I should say that, the Bermuda Triangle ranges, depending on who you ask, between 500,000 and 1 million square miles, which is pretty freaking huge. And so, I just want to say that we're talking about like a large area. So it's not like a small section of the ocean that people vanish in, but there are numerous reports of unexplained occurrences. So there have been ships that are completely abandoned for no apparent reason, where there were no distress signals or anything like that. Obviously there have been aircraft and ships that have vanished from that area, again, oftentimes without distress signals. There have been rescue missions that have vanished when flying over that area. And yeah, the main thing though is that there have been no signs of wreckage or passengers or crews were never seen or heard from again. So it just seems like whatever happens, we have no explanation. There's no witnesses, just these things just vanish.
Is there like a theory as to why there's no evidence of anything? Like, 'cause you would think, I mean, with a shipwreck, it's hard 'cause like depending on whatever, but you would think you would find like some driftwood or something, like to me, it just like, is there anything explaining as to why there might not be?
Well, we are going to get into like theories and stuff, but yeah, I think that's why it's so mysterious is that there isn't a lot of explanation or, we're not sure which explanation fits the most. But yeah, the fact that there is no evidence found, no wreckage, no none of that, that's what makes it so mysterious. The research I found said that between 1946 and 1991, there were several disappearances. How many would you guess there were during that span of time?
How many years is that?
46 to 91.
I'm gonna say like 30.
Okay. So one source said that more than 50 ships and 20 planes mysteriously disappeared. And then there was another source that said there were over 100 during that time frame alone. So I don't know which is right, but there's still, it would still be 70 or 100, depending on who you ask. And then this is just a fun fact that I didn't realize, but because you're a Shakespeare nerd, I threw it in. So, there's a lot of reefs in that area that are pretty treacherous. And so some people have said that Shakespeare was inspired to write The Tempest, based on this area and the reefs and the treacherous, can't get through very well, because The Tempest is a tale of a shipwreck and sorcery.
That's interesting. I mean, it doesn't shock me, but that is really interesting that Shakespeare like was inspired by that.
Well, and now we're going to get to another famous explorer, but but somebody who, popularity wise, we all have different opinions about him. But one of the first accounts of mysterious things happening, it comes from Christopher Columbus during his voyage to America between September and October 19, or I'm sorry, 1492.
Interesting.
So Columbus and the crew say that the compasses were not working and there were unusual lights in the sky over the water when they were in that area. And they also reported that the sea was a lot rougher than it had been during the rest of the trip. And then there was a report that they witnessed a large fireball fall out of the sky and into the sea.
Okay.
And so all of these accounts were documented in their logbooks. Now, there is a stretch of ocean known as Sargasso Sea between Bermuda and the Caribbean. And in that area, there are ancient stories, including some stories from Columbus's crew, that sailboats get stranded in that area forever. And apparently, there's just like no wind that helps the sails, and the ships become surrounded by seaweed and remnants of other vessels, and then they get stranded there. And so, again, a lot of the reports that we get is there are no, remnants of other ships or vessels or, wreckage or any of that stuff. But this account says that there is, and that's why people get stranded in that area.
Interesting. Okay.
And then this says that there is evidence that the ships have been lost in that area because there are relics and remnants found there specifically. Now, from a scientific perspective, it can be explained away because there are circular ocean currents in that area. And so it can explain why ships get stuck because they just can't get out of those circular currents.
Okay.
But yeah, so that's the Christopher Columbus accounts, the lights in the sky and all the things, which we'll get back to. And then on March 4th, 1918, the USS Cyclops, and the USS Cyclops was a fuel ship for the Navy, but it disappeared somewhere near Barbados.
Okay.
Now, neither the captain nor the crew put out any distress signals, and they did not answer any of the calls that were coming over the radio. So it seems strange to think that they would like sink or have something going on without trying to radio for help.
Okay.
But of course, the ship and the crew were never seen again. So it totally fits the disappearing vibe of the Bermuda Triangle. December 28th, 1948. Douglas Dakota DC-3 airplane was flying through that area and it was carrying 26 passengers. And the plane disappeared when it was about 50 miles off of the Florida coast, and that's where it was set to land. And after it sent its final call to report its location, and this was not in distress, they were just like reporting that they were close and going to be coming in for landing soon. But after they did that check-in, they were never heard from again.
Wow, and the plane was never seen again.
Never seen again. Yeah,
Wow.
nothing recovered. And
Okay.
then for 1951, a US Navy landing ship called Southern Districts disappeared, and it had been seen near the Bermuda Triangle. But this one's a little different because 4 years after it went missing, a life jacket ended up washing up on the Florida coast that had the ship's name on it.
Okay. Well,
So
that
that,
sounds like it could be like a shipwreck then.
yeah. And again, because so many of them, there's no evidence of wreckage or anything. So this one was a little different in that that life jacket did wash up on the Florida coast 4 years later.
Okay.
And then we come to December 22nd, 1967. There was a much smaller ship named Witchcraft, which is kind of a fun name, I'm not gonna lie.
I do like that.
This was a 23-foot cabin cruiser, and this only had two passengers on it. Dan Burak was the one of the passengers, and he was supposed to be like a very experienced sailor and like knew what he was doing. So people would think that he would know how to handle if there was some kind of emergency. And then the boat was actually outfitted with a flotation device in the hull, which would prevent the boat from sinking, even if it had been damaged or had taken on a lot of water.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So apparently Dan had called the Coast Guard after he did hit something in the water, and he asked for a tow, but he was very calm. He didn't really seem to be in distress. And he didn't say that the boat was taking on water, just that, he needed the tow. And so the boat had floated seat cushions, flares, and life jackets. So there were some things that were like safety measures if he was in need of those things. If the boat did sink, he could fire the flares, the seat cushions could be a flotation device, and he would have life jackets. And they apparently were only about a mile off the shore. So the Coast Guard was able to arrive pretty quickly, but they were never found. And again, you would think if they had those safety measures like life jackets and flares, if the boat was sinking, they would be able to use those things to stay afloat until the Coast Guard got there, because they got there pretty quickly. But the boat, Dan and his passenger, were all missing.
Something I kind of like about this story too is that, like, to me, like, if you see a cruise ship, like, even if it's a mile out, like, yeah, like that's kind of far, but like in the ocean, you can see out miles and miles and miles. And like the idea that you're not seeing a ship, even like say they had drifted, like they wouldn't have drifted so far, they wouldn't be able to see them.
Yeah.
Like, that's interesting to me.
Well, it's funny you mentioned a cruise ship, because I have cruised the Caribbean on that side. And so when I looked at the map, I was like, oh, I for sure have cruised through there, because I've been to Puerto Rico, I've been to the Bahamas. Like, I've definitely been in that area. And nothing weird happened. So,
Maybe
yeah.
you're just a lucky one, Mom, you know?
Oh, I made it out of Lana. I survived my Bermuda Triangle experience.
Yes, exactly.
So then we come to December 5th, 1945, and this is the famous Flight 19. So around 2 p.m., five TBM Avenger torpedo bombers, that's a lot to say, left Fort Lauderdale, and they were on a training mission. So, they were just trying to like fly in formation, do all the things. And they had all gone on, undergone an inspection before they took off, and the weather was good that day. So, the planes were good, the weather was good. So there wasn't really an explanation for why anything would happen. And then these planes were also supposed to be like very strong. They were even nicknamed Iron Birds. So they were designed for war, they were made to be very durable. Now, sources vary. Some people say there were 14 men on the planes, and others say there were 27 on these five planes. But either way, oh, and there was an instructor on board. His name was Lieutenant Charles Taylor. And it was said that the compasses weren't working, and they got lost. So one of the pilots did radio for help. He said, "We can't find west. Everything is wrong. We can't be sure of any direction. Everything looks strange, even the ocean." And then a final message came from Lieutenant Taylor, and he said, "We can't make anything out. We think we may be about 255 miles northeast of base. It looks like we're entering whitewater. We are completely lost." And their last radio contact was at 4 p.m. Shortly after receiving that message, a rescue mission was initiated, and a plane called a PBM Mariner flying boat radioed in. Once, and he was out there trying to look for them, but he radioed in once, and then he also went missing.
Wow, so the rescue boat and this boat,
Well, it
like,
was a flying boat, so it was a plane also. So it was five
okay.
boats, five planes that were on the training mission, and then a flying boat, another plane went in to do a rescue mission, and they all ended up missing.
Wow. And was there weather? Like, were there, like, is there any reports of like bad weather or anything during that?
Said the weather was clear, and all the planes had been checked for safety and all the things, so it shouldn't have been anything wrong. And then after investigating and finding nothing, the Navy report said, quote, "We are not even able to make a good guess as to what happened." And then the official Navy report also said that planes disappeared as if they had flown to Mars. So
Okay. That's kind of silly. But
Yeah.
interesting. Okay.
So now those are the main, stories that most people know of like missing planes or ships. So we're gonna get into some of the theories. So it is said that, there can be weird weather conditions in that area, such as hurricanes and waterspouts. And waterspouts look like water tornadoes, so it's like a funnel, but it's made out of water.
Okay.
And there are also very deep trenches that could make locating a sunken ship or a plane very difficult. Some scientists say that the disappearances don't necessarily happen more frequently in any other area than, as they do in this area. And again, like I said, this area is either, depending on who you ask, somewhere between 500,000 and a million square miles. And so, I mean, it's a large area we're talking about. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean that's a massive, that is a massive area. Like to me, I'm like, yeah, like there might be, that might seem like a lot, but when you think about how big it is, it's really not, you know?
Well, and that's why I'm kind of feeling like, I mean, if it was like, oh, in this 50-mile radius, planes or boats are going missing, I'd be like, okay, that's something really interesting. But if we're talking a million square miles, I mean, people go missing all the time in any million square miles that you look at. So I
Yeah.
don't know.
I mean, you even think about people that just go missing in national parks and like how common that is. And like a national park isn't even that big, you know, like it's just interesting.
And then there's another theory that it could be a magnetic phenomenon because this is an area where magnetic north and true north meet up. So this could affect compass readings, and people suspect that lightning could intensify the magnetic fields, which causes radio and compass interference.
Interesting.
Yeah, so and so there's belief that in that area, a magnetic compass sometimes points toward true north as opposed to so people get lost. And then there is a phenomenon known as ball lightning, which kind of looks like lightning is shooting out sideways from a ball of electricity in the middle. And so that might explain what Christopher Columbus and his crew reported, because they said there were strange lights in the sky above the water. But I will say that sometimes people have reported seeing those similar lights even when the weather was good. So I don't know if you could have like the ball lightning where it's, going out to the sides, even if the sky is clear. I'm not sure, but yeah, scientists say that the ball lightning could explain the weird lighting in the sky.
That's definitely interesting. I've never even heard of that.
Okay, well now I'm going to get into a really fun theory.
Is it alien?
Atlantis.
Oh, Atlantis.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, written by Plato and described as an entire kingdom that disappeared into the sea overnight. Author Charles Berlitz had the opinion that the entire kingdom was one of the victims of the Bermuda Triangle. He believes that all who were taken are living well under the sea. And I really don't know how people would breathe under the water, or if they just evolved so quickly. But he said that there is advanced technology that we can't possibly understand, and they are thriving under the water. So that's a fun theory. I'm not sure if there is anything to back that up, but it's kind of cute.
I mean, I think that's kind of fun. I think that would be fun if Atlantis existed and people just get caught in the current sometimes. Like I'm into
Yeah,
that.
they want to go visit, for a week and then come home. But yeah, it's a fun theory.
Yeah.
Now, another fun theory is that it is a gateway to another universe similar to a black hole.
Huh, interesting.
So there are some accounts where people lose time in that area, or distance travel should take a certain amount of time, but it ends up taking much, much longer with no clear reason. There is a pilot named Bruce Gernon, and he said he escaped an incident in the triangle. He described it as an electronic fog, and his compass failed. He said the sky was so clouded that he flew blindly for 3 minutes and then was informed he was over Miami. And his watch showed that 40 minutes had passed, but for him, it only felt like a few minutes.
Oh, wow.
And during that time, he traveled a different distance that it should have taken 90 minutes. So for him, it felt like 40 minutes had passed, but it should have taken 90 minutes to get there. So none
Oh.
of that worked out.
That is very strange.
Yeah.
But you know, that is something that happens with like alien encounters a lot where there's time lapses, and that
Yeah.
would be an interesting thought there.
Yeah. And then to kind of go along with this black hole theory, there was a scientist named John Hutchinson, and this was in the 70s, and he found that electromagnetic fields could interfere with each other, and this could cause, quote, astonishing things to happen, such as making metals glow or change form. This phenomenon was named the Hutchinson effect. And so some people believe that that cr could create a wormhole that would take people to other dimensions.
So, okay, I see what you're saying. That's strange. I like that.
And then, of course, final like fun theory is just aliens.
Oh,
And
yeah.
there's not much to say about that, but the belief is that the lights in the sky could be aliens with advanced technology that could either take the ships or planes or destroy them without evidence being left behind. This theory believes that the people are taken to be studied or experimented on. And obviously, there is absolutely no evidence to support that, but it's a cute theory.
I like an alien theory, as we all know. And I think it's interesting, definitely the lights in the sky. I always wonder with that because I feel like that's something that is hard to explain sometimes. But yeah, definitely interesting.
The ball lightning is a thing that could explain that, so I don't know.
I have never heard of ball lightning in my entire life, and I would like to see pictures of
Yes.
it.
Okay. So, but the most likely factors that are responsible for these missing ships and planes and everything are geophysical and environmental factors. So, one hypothesis is that pilots failed to account for the agonic line, which is the place at which there is no need to compensate for magnetic compass variations, and that could result in significant navigational errors. Now, my thing about that though is even if they got off course, you would think they would eventually find their way out or get back on course somehow.
Yeah.
And, even if they got off course, we should be able to find them. So I don't know. And then there are things called rogue waves. Have you ever heard of a rogue wave?
No.
Okay. So these are huge, massive waves that could be over 100 feet tall. And so the idea that those powerful waves could smother or destroy all evidence of a ship or a plane and take them under. And again, the ocean is very deep. We have not discovered all of it. We don't know how deep it goes in certain areas. So, they be taken under by these huge waves and never found again. And then, obviously Bermuda Triangle is located in an area of the Atlantic Ocean where storms from multiple directions can converge. And so it makes those kind of huge waves, the rogue waves, more likely in that area.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
And then this is just a funny name, but another theory is oceanic flatulence.
What does that mean? The ocean
ocean,
is parting?
it's a little gassy a lot of it. So this is a theory that methane gas can erupt from the ocean and sediments and disruptions in geomagnetic lines are disrupted. And so yeah, that could influence people being taken under.
Huh. I mean,
And then
that's definitely interesting. I've just never heard of this phrase. Like, I didn't know that the ocean was gassy. I had no idea.
yeah, the ocean's on it. It needs some Tums. And then the majority of Atlantic tropical storms and hurricanes pass through the Bermuda Triangle. And so obviously the storms themselves could account for disappearances. And it does say weather conditions can change rapidly without much warning. And, because there were times where people were saying, no, it was like the weather was great, there were clear skies. And they still went missing. So, but if the weather conditions can change rapidly, maybe that could account for it. Although some of the rescue missions, I don't know if they also didn't report bad weather. I don't know, that'd be interesting. But the storms in that area are often violent and destructive. And then because there's so many islands in the Caribbean Sea, there are many shallow areas that can be difficult to navigate through, so maybe people could get stuck. But again, you would think that we'd find those people. So,
Yeah, see, that's what's hard for me, 'cause if there were like shallow parts that were difficult to navigate and you like got shipwrecked, right? Like you would think the ship would be there. It wouldn't sink because it's shallow. So like, yeah, that's a weird one for me.
yeah. And then the US Navy and Coast Guard maintain that it is human fallibility and forces of nature that are responsible for the disappearances. And according to the US National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration, quote, there is no evidence that mysterious disappearances occur with any greater frequency in the Bermuda Triangle than in any other large, well-traveled area of the ocean.
Okay. I can say that, but I prefer to believe that there's something at work.
And I was okay, and then it says boaters and flyers continue to venture through the triangle without event. And so, yeah, I'm just gonna say I tend to believe that this is not as mysterious as I thought it would be. I do think it's probably, weather and weird like things of the ocean. So yeah, because I mean, it just seems like most of these accounts were so long ago, and maybe now that we have better navigational tools and all of that, people are not getting lost as often. And again, if it's 500,000 to a million square miles, I mean, that's a huge area that I think, of course, people are going to go missing when it's that huge of an area. And if we took any other million square miles, there's probably a lot of other unexplained missing persons or boats or whatever. So I don't know, and I've definitely cruised through that area on a cruise ship, and I had no incidents. So I'm kind of thinking it's not as mysterious as we all thought.
That's fair. I kind of agree. I think there's probably a lot of like you said, if you actually like looked at the math and like looked at other areas of a million square miles, there's probably a lot where there's just a lot of disappearances.
Yeah.
Because I feel like for me, I always thought the Bermuda Triangle was much smaller, like I guess in my brain.
Yeah, I thought it was like, just like a tight, mysterious area where it was just treacherous or something. But like, yeah, when you're talking about, I mean, like basically like a whole ocean, like, yeah, there's a lot of things that can happen when you're dealing with that big of a square footage,
Yeah, no, I agree. And I do think, you know, I mean, I'm not trying to like at Columbus right now, but he wasn't very smart, you know. Man was trying to go to India. He ended up in the Caribbean. That, like, you know, I think there's already some navigational things with Columbus. So, no, that's just me
Yeah,
being
you're
silly. Huh?
I got for you.
Yeah. Cool. Well, thanks for sharing. I think that was a fun one. Well, I guess friends, some like quick little housekeeping things. Our flight also came out today, so go ahead and check that out. It's a fun one. We also have our Patreon bonus episode that posted this weekend, so you should check that out and subscribe to Patreon because that's great. You could also follow us on Instagram at What the L Pod. You can send us an email with a topic suggestion or your own spooky stories at whattheLPod@gmail.com. You're also welcome to, subscribe, rate highly, follow all the things on all of the places where you get your podcasts. And then we just want to say, I appreciate you, Mama.
I appreciate you, baby.
And we appreciate you, friends. Bye bye.
I don't get lost.